BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
It is always our great pleasure to have you join us for Crosstalk here on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider today, I am Dalton Windsor. Jim has been away to Trail Ridge Camp and ministering to young people this past week as well across the nation. We're inside of a great time of ministry, that being camp, Bible camps, or be it a vacation Bible school, and definitely something to keep in your prayers as God's people continue to minister to young people. Tis the season, right? Tis the season for these great works that to happen. And if you listen to this network at all, you often hear about the good work being done at Trail Ridge, and hopefully maybe somewhat of a report back next week from Jim as to how things are going. And the reports we have been getting, of course, are great. We do have a stack of news in here for Friday News Roundup and Comment, as we always do. Our sincere thanks to Sandy for all the work she's done compiling these stories and helping us to bring them to you. And friends, it's a heavy news day, not just having been a big heavy news week, but is a very heavy news day. We're going to begin this morning or this afternoon, depending on when you're listening to this, but we're going to be sharing some audio from the White House earlier today when the president was speaking and signing an executive order on abortion access here in America. We're gonna get to that, but we also want to be talking as well, sharing the terrible story on the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. We'll be looking at that story as well inside of these next few minutes. But right now, we'll go to the audio that we have to share with you and hear the comments just from earlier today from President Biden.
Good morning, everyone. Before I speak to the Supreme Court extreme decision overturning Roe, I want to comment on one piece of good news. Economic good news today. Today, the Labor Department reported that we added 372,000 jobs last month. 372,000. Here's why it's important. Our private sector has now recovered all of the jobs lost during the pandemic and added jobs on top of that. We have more Americans working today in the private sector than any day under my predecessor, more today than any time in American history. Today. In the second quarter of this year, we created more jobs than any quarter under any of my predecessors in nearly 40 years before the pandemic. Think about that. At a time when our critics said the economy was too weak or having already added more jobs in my first year as president of any president in history, we still added more jobs in the past 3 months than any administration in nearly 40 years. Now, look, I know times are tough. Prices are too high. Families are facing the cost of the living crunch. But today's economic news confirms the fact that my economic plan is moving this country in a better direction. The unemployment rate is near a historic low of 3.6%. Private sector jobs are at a record high. Gas prices, still way too high, have fallen now 25 days in a row. And this week we saw the second largest single day decrease in gas prices in a decade. We still have a lot of work to do. I'm not suggesting there's a lot more work to do, but I am suggesting we're making significant progress. The program is working. Now, with the Vice President, Secretary Becerra, and Deputy Attorney General Monaco, I want to talk about an executive order I'm signing to protect reproductive rights of women. In the aftermath of the Supreme Court's terrible, extreme, and I think so totally wrong-headed decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. In both formalized actions I announced right after the decision, as well as adding new measures today, let's be clear about something from the very start. This was not a decision driven by the Constitution. Let me say it again. This was not a decision driven by the Constitution. And despite what those justices and the majority said, this was not a decision driven by history. You've all probably had a chance to read the decisions and the dissent. The majority rattles off laws from the 19th century to support the idea that Roe was a historic anomaly because states outlawed abortion in the 1880s toward the end. But that's just wrong. The truth is, today's Supreme Court majority that is playing fast and loose with the facts. Even 150 years ago, the common law and many state laws did not criminalize abortion early in pregnancy, which is very similar to the viability line drawn by Roe. But the Dobbs majority ignores that fact. And the Dobbs majority ignores that many laws are enacted to protect women at the time when they were dying from unsafe abortions. This is the horrific reality that Roe sought to end. The practice of medicine should not be frozen in the 19th century. So what happened? The dissenting opinion says as clear as you can possibly say it. And here's the quote. Neither in law, nor facts, nor attitudes have provided any new reason to reach a different result than Roe and Casey did. And all that's changed is this court, end of quote. All that's changed is this court. That wasn't about the Constitution or the law. It was about a deep, long-seeding antipathy toward Roe and the broader right to privacy. As the justices wrote in their dissent, and I quote, the majority has overruled Roe and Casey for one and only one reason, because it has always despised them, and now it has the votes to discard them, end of quote. So what we're witnessing wasn't a constitutional judgment. It was an exercise in raw political power. On the day the Dobbs decision came down, I immediately announced what I would do. But I also made it clear, based on the reasoning of the court, there is no constitutional right to choose. The only way to fulfill and restore that right for women in this country is by voting, by exercising the power at the ballot box. Let me explain. We need two additional pro-choice senators and a pro-choice House to codify Roe as federal law. Your vote can make that a reality. I know it's frustrating, and it made a lot of people very angry, but the truth is this. And it's not just me saying it. It's what the court said. When you read the decision the court has made clear, it will not protect the rights of women. Period. Period. After having made the decision based on a reading of a document that was frozen in time in the 1860s, when women didn't even have the right to vote, the court now, practically dares the women of America to go to the ballot box and restore the very rights they've just taken away. One of the most extraordinary parts of the decision, in my view, is the majority writes, and I quote, women are not without electoral or political power. It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so, end of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not without electoral and or political political power. That's another way of saying that you, the women of America, can determine the outcome of this issue. I don't think the court, or for that matter, the Republicans who for decades have pushed the extreme agenda, have a clue about the power of American women. But they're about to find out, in my view. It's my hope and strong belief that women will, in fact, turn out in record numbers to reclaim the rights that have taken from them by the court. And let me be clear. While I wish it had not come to this, this is the fastest route available. I'm just stating a basic fundamental notion. The fastest way to restore Roe is to pass a national law codifying Roe, which I will sign immediately upon its passage at my desk. And we can't wait. Extreme Republican governors, extreme Republican state legislators, and Republican extremists in the Congress overall, all of them have not only fought to take away our rights, but they're now determined to go as far as they can. Now the most extreme Republican governors and state legislators have taken the court's decision as a green light to impose some of the harshest and most restrictive laws seen in this country in a long time. These are the laws that not only put women's lives at risk, these are the laws that will cost lives. What we're witnessing is a giant step backwards in much of our country. Already, the bans are in effect in 13 states. 12 additional states are likely to ban choice in the coming weeks. And in a number of these states, the laws are so extreme, they've raised the threat of criminal penalties for doctors and healthcare providers. They're so extreme that many don't allow for exceptions, even for rape or incest. Let me say that again. Some of the states don't.
Well, there is plenty more, of course, from the president's speech earlier today, and full of facts. Well, they believe many facts of what is the president is taking action upon today. President Biden taking the executive action on abortion access following the immense pressure from Democrats and others that are, you know, responding 2 weeks post the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And we're already coming up on our first break here today. But just as he continued to read from his teleprompter there, there were many more things that was said. But I want to back up to something Doug Jordan of Ohio had recently said, and that reminding us that, did you know that Joe voted to allow the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that it would go back to the states while he was a senator? Senator Biden voted to allow Roe v. Wade to go back to the states while he was a senator. Did you know that in 2012, Joe Biden is on record saying that life begins at conception? What Joe Biden was that in 2012 that we now see so vehemently trying to give more access to killing the innocent among us? So we will see where this one goes. We obviously know where they are wanting it to go. And yes, it was stressed over and over again that or implied that the Supreme Court is somehow calling women out and, you know, giving them the power to go and vote this fall. Well, that Supreme Court is not made up of just men, Mr. President. And yes, there are many women that will be voting in the fall, and they won't all be voting to kill the innocent. There will be many women, Mr. President, that are standing for life, many women and men who are simply trying to be a voice for the voiceless. So we'll see what happens next, and it all looks great and official, and it sounded okay as he read that. I don't know who wrote the thing, but the speech was clearly prepared, which, to be fair, all presidents do have the speech writers and those that help, but he didn't do a terrible job reading, but in any event, I'm reading some things in front of me as I speak, so I digress. But that is kind of how we'll get started here this morning. There is a few other headlines, and I say this morning, this afternoon, depending on when you are listening to this. We'll come back and hit just a few more things on headlines from the reversal of Roe, and then also cover this terrible assassination on the former Japanese prime minister that happened at a political rally. And it's a heavy, heavy news day, friends. Stay with us. Crosstalk will continue.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now we know there are volcanoes here on Earth, but are they found anywhere else in the solar system?
Chris, we find evidence of volcanism on all of the rocky planets and many of the moons. Our own moon gives evidence of much volcanism in times past. Recent studies of Mars show that huge volcanoes were there as well. On the moons of the gaseous planets, some may even still be active. It appears to me that much of this volcanism is associated with meteorite impact. I wouldn't be surprised that at the time of the flood, the whole solar system got bombarded by meteorites. Remember the big picture of creation thinking. A very good creation, perfect in every sense, ruined by the introduction of sin and the curse on all of creation, and then restructured by the flood of Noah's day. Often God used natural causes to bring about his supernatural intent. And that's the way I see it from a back to Genesis perspective.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
We are back on Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network, and I beg your pardon, I must back up just a little bit. I believe I said, instead of saying Jim Jordan of Ohio, and having quoted some things that he's recently brought out, I believe I said Doug Jordan. I beg your pardon, I was speaking of Jim Jordan of Ohio. I think I went to school with a Doug Jordan, but that's a complete other story. Some of the headlines that continue today, from LifeSite News, the North Carolina governor signing an order protecting abortion rights following the reversal of Roe. For now, it's up to the states to determine whether women get reproductive health care. And in North Carolina, they still can, thanks to my veto and enough legislative votes to sustain it. That from Democrat Governor Roy Cooper of North Carolina. And, wow, no question of how this has opened the doors of opportunity for conversation and dialogue in so many ways about this subject of life. And isn't it amazing how hard some of us are fighting for the right to kill our children? But the discussion does continue, and here is something, a headline saying that if you head over to Planned Parenthood's website, you'll find that they describe the abortion pill that is out there as, quote, safe and very common, end of quote. While it's true that the abortion pill is becoming an increasingly utilized method of abortion, it certainly isn't safe. The abortion pill is also known as a chemical or, quote, medication abortion. Though calling the pills medication is a misnomer, medication is intended to treat or cure diseases, and pregnancy is not a disease. The abortion pill we're speaking of consists of the first pill, mifepristone, which blocks the pregnancy hormone progesterone, which preborn babies need to grow and survive. Women generally take 200 milligrams of the drug, which usually results in the death of the preborn baby. Then around 48 hours later, a woman will take 800 mcg of buccal misoprostol. My apologies, I am not a doctor. That is the second drug, which in essence causes an early unnatural miscarriage. This, according to the pro-abortion Guttmacher Institute, chemical abortions now make up 54% of all abortions. The FDA has placed a REMS designation, or a risk evaluation and mitigation strategy designation, on this abortion drug. According to the FDA, certain drugs are slapped with the REMS, the REMS designation, if there are serious safety concerns surrounding the medication. There are over 20,000 prescription drugs that have been approved by the FDA for the marketing, and only 61 of them have been deemed risky enough to require the REMS designation, with mifepristone being one of them. According to one of the largest studies conducted on the abortion pill to date, the overall incidence of immediate adverse events is four-fold higher for medical abortions than for surgical abortions. The study found that the following complications were common among those who took the abortion pill. These are the common complications from it. Surgical evacuation, hemorrhage, infection. Another study found other side effects that are common to the abortion pill process, fever and chills, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, weakness, headache. Other risks that come from possible complications from the abortion pill include pulmonary embolism, deep vein thrombosis, and pelvic inflammatory disease. Here is more from LifeSite News, saying that at least 46 abortion centers have closed following Supreme Court overturning of Roe v. Wade. What? 46 abortion centers have already closed, but I thought they offered so many other services. Well, in Wichita, Kansas, according to Operation Rescue's firsthand investigation, over 49 abortion clinics have either halted abortions or have been forced to close their doors altogether since The last Friday, when the U.S. Supreme Court released its decision in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization case, the decision effectively overturned the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision and its companion case, Casey versus Planned Parenthood, from 1992. Now, on top of the 49-plus abortion mills that have shut down, 9 states are now completely abortion-free, according to this. Operation Rescue has verified the closure of abortion clinics in these states. Alabama, 4 closures at the time of this printing. 2 closures in Arkansas, 4 closures in Arizona, 2 in Kentucky, Missouri with 1 closure, now an abortion-free state. Ohio, 10 closures. Texas, 14 closures. 4 closures in Wisconsin, now an abortion-free state. Wyoming, 1 closure, now an abortion-free state. And then, let's see, three additional states, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and West Virginia, who were already abortion-free prior to the overturn of Roe. Again, that from LifeSite News just earlier today. Here from Todd Starnes, while several businesses are offering to cover travel costs for staffers that are wanting to get abortions, a Texas-based insurance company is offering pay for birth and adoption costs. Okay. Buffer releasing a statement back on Monday denouncing secular companies and announcing their pro-life commitment. They continued by promising to cover adoption fees for their employees who choose life. Buffer employees will also receive paid time off for paternity and maternity leave. Not only is Buffer committed to helping their employees, but they are offering to help other companies provide the same benefits. Employers, if you'd like to learn how you can provide these benefits to your employees, let us know. We have ready-to-use policies that you can add to your employee handbooks. Again, this company, Buffer, offering pay for birth and adoptions in response to the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Something positive, right? Somebody saying, okay, if this is finally being fixed, if something is finally being done, let's see more continue to be done. Let's choose life. Let's choose adoption. Here is another response. In response to the U.S. Supreme Court's 6-3 decision overturning Roe v. Wade, Christ for All Nations is offering their employees reimbursement for up to $5,000 to offset the cost of adopting a child. This Christ for All Nations life-honoring policy includes reimbursement for adoption application fees, relevant home studies, agency and placement fees, legal fees and court costs, immigration, immunization, and translation fees, transportation, meals, and lodging, as well as parent, child, and family adoption counseling. It's a robust program. It's clear of endorsement of every human's right to life and is in keeping with the biblical teaching that every human is created in the image of God. The up to $5,000 reimbursement will help many of Christ for All Nations employees grow their families through adoption. Now think of this. We've heard for weeks now, and by the way, before we actually saw and learned of the official overturn of Roe v. Wade, before it actually happened, does anyone remember how we first heard of this coming? That leak? Story published within the past 10 days or so, saying the abortion decision draft leaker's identity remains a mystery as the Supreme Court ended its term. See, the Supreme Court did end its term yesterday, Thursday. Is this past Thursday or the Thursday before? Yes, that would be last week, June 30, when the Supreme Court ended its term. And then we'll resume back again come October. But as of the time they ended their term, that leak where we all first learned that Roe v. Wade could possibly be overturned, that leak or the leaker and whoever it is or they are, that remains a mystery. How long is that going to take place? But point being, all that we've been through and all that's being said, how nice to see companies like this and believers across the nation just making a personal decision to say, okay, let's truly do something about this. Let's provide, let's be a conduit, if you will, for life. We want these children to live, and in some cases, maybe we may have to step up and put our money where our mouth is, and be a part of making life continue to happen. Standing up, truly standing up for life, being that not just a voice for the voiceless, but then offering love for that voiceless that will become a child, will be born, and will need help. Will need a mom and a dad and a family. And kudos, as they say, to this Christ for All Nations offering their employees reimbursement up to $5,000 to offset the cost of adopting a child. Now, that's a whole other subject that we won't talk about here today, but why does it cost so much to adopt? I don't have any numbers in front of me right now, but that's always, isn't that always what the everyone kind of knows that, oh, well, it's too expensive to try to adopt. Well, maybe that needs to be fixed. Maybe that's something else that we need to see overturned, if you will, that we could make adoption easier, more affordable, if you will, so that we can get these children to homes, loving homes, and see life happen. Wouldn't that be a blessing? All right, we're up against almost a break here again. One of the big stories, the big story of just today alone, former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has been assassinated at a political rally. They apparently have arrested someone that was at the scene. They have him named here. Tetsuya Yamagami, 41 years of age, was arrested at the scene, according to the South China Morning Post. Political violence is rare in Japan, a country that has strict gun regulations, mind you. The gun used in the shooting of Shinzo Abe appeared to be, are you ready for this? Homemade. It was a homemade firearm that was used to assassinate former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Local media reporting that the shooter was a former member of the Japan Maritime Self-Defense Force. Newsweek quoted local police as saying that he told them he aimed to kill and was dissatisfied with Abe. Witnesses reported a man approached Abe from behind while the 67-year-old politician was giving a speech. He was on stage giving a speech supporting the candidate of his Liberal Democratic Party in Nara as part of the upcoming Japanese elections. Officials said that Abe was shot on the right side of his neck and the left side of his chest. A professor in charge of the emergency medicine at Nara Medical University Hospital said that he had no vital signs when he arrived at the hospital at 12:20 p.m. their time. Efforts to stop the bleeding failed. He was pronounced dead at 5 p.m. Local time. Japan's elections are scheduled for Sunday. Apparently, will remain on track as scheduled. But again, sad news, the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. That's the headline today. The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's Fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network, and it's not just us that's doing the talking. We also want to hear from you, as we always try to open the phones, and we're going to do that at 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. We'll begin hearing from you across the country and even around the world. And we've talked much already today about what alternatives are out there, talking about adoption. You know, we've said no to abortion on a federal level now in America. We've said no to that. And let's say yes to adoption. And that story we just shared moments ago, you know, saying that there are companies beginning to step up, saying, what can we do to help our employees to be able to, you know, provide to provide a home for children in need, to make adoption easier or more affordable, maybe to quicken that process. You know, I'm no expert on these things, but this is opening up a whole new opportunity, friends, for us here in our country and in our personal lives, and hey, and to put money where our mouth is, as they say, to put some feet to our prayers, and to even be an answer to our own prayer in providing for those that need love, that need a loving home, that need a mother and a father. 1-800-733-9829 if you'd like to weigh in this morning or this afternoon, depending on what time you are listening. We ran audio there minutes ago of the president speaking earlier today, and with the opening headline, the president was talking about gas prices, that they are coming down. In fact, he said that gas prices have fallen 25 consecutive days. Today, I assume, being the 25th consecutive day that gas prices are now going down here in America. And he did say there is still more work to do. This is one from American Thinker today, saying that Joe Biden is busy blaming gas station owners for the soaring prices of filling up at the pump. Biden has also blamed Putin, big oil producers, and oil refineries. And he's gone begging the Saudis and the Venezuelans to pump more oil for him and released about half of the strategic petroleum reserves, using it as an open market mechanism to blunt the effect that his policies, many would say bad policies, rather than for the emergencies it's intended to address. None of this has brought down the price of oil like is needed. This goes on to say, now we learn that a huge chunk of this oil has gone abroad to Europe. Did you hear this? Mm-hmm. And worse still, a lot of this has gone to Asia, particularly China, which isn't using it to fuel gas stations. According to Reuters, who broke this story, some 5 million barrels in just the last month alone have been arriving at China's Pacific ports. This export of crude and fuel is blunting the impact of the moves by U.S. President Joe Biden to lower record pump prices. Biden last Saturday renewed a call for gasoline suppliers to cut their prices, drawing criticism from Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and others. Biden's announcement about releasing the oil barrels was made back in April, where he said these releases will put more than 1 million barrels per day on the market over the next 6 months and will help address supply disruptions caused by Putin's further invasion of Ukraine. How many of you knew that was going to be the case from the get-go? But how many of you remember that fuel was going up, up, up before Russia ever came down on Ukraine? But now, what a great way to blame the rise of fuel cost is to just blame... Had a high school teacher with a sign in his room. This is just we'll chase this for just a moment. There's a sign on his wall that said, "The search for blame is always successful." Isn't that true? The search for blame is always successful. And we all do it. You know, and even in Christianity, sometimes we play, "Well, the devil made me do it." But Biden continuing to blame the fuel prices on the invasion of Ukraine and the price hike that Americans continue to face at the pump. The American Energy Alliance points out that it's actually worse than it looks. China isn't even using the oil, but it is stockpiling it for its own strategic petroleum reserves, meaning the U.S. oil that has been taken off the market, our oil that has been taken off the market, is not helping to lower the price of crude, even on a worldwide basis. This article from American Thinker goes on to say that China has also refused to play Biden's game. For every barrel of reserve the president has sold, China has taken a barrel off the global market, adding it to its Chinese stockpiles. China's stockpiling eliminated any benefit to U.S. consumers from the SPR release, instead reducing U.S. energy security while strengthening China's energy security. Here is from Fox News. Former Interior Secretary David Bernhardt criticized the Biden administration's proposal unveiled late last week that gutted a 2018 plan to hold dozens of offshore oil and gas lease sales. We'll get through this and then we're going to go to the phone lines. The Department of the Interior published a proposed five-year offshore leasing program that opened the door to a complete ban on offshore leasing through 2028. The plan, which would allow a maximum of 11 total offshore lease sales in that time span, also laid waste to a Trump-era version of the same program that proposed 47 lease sales over 5 years. Bernhardt said, "Since day one, this administration has put climate activism over energy independence and energy security. What it does is make very clear that there is a very real possibility they choose to either have no leasing on many fewer sales or many fewer sales. They have been relentless in their desire to pursue climate activism over energy security for the American people, even though it's wildly unpopular." The lines are jammed. Let's go to the phone and welcome you to Crosstalk today. Looks like Lee is in Wisconsin. Lee, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hey, Dalton, it's good to hear you. There's something I want to say, but before I say that, just after listening to you and some of the things you're reporting, what a crazy world. But, you know, Joe Biden speaks out of both sides of his mouth. And just remember, nobody's words mean less than Joe Biden's. Nobody's words mean less than Joe Biden's. But what I was going to ask you about is just, I just need some help understanding this Roe versus Wade thing, just so I can be more articulate when I get into a discussion. So what I understand, Roe versus Wade made, basically, it stated that abortion is a constitutional right, and that it forced the government to make it legal everywhere. And so now, with there's so much rhetoric being thrown around about this issue, that I just need to figure out what's going on. So when you say Roe versus Wade has been reversed, it, you know, my understanding that it hasn't become illegal for abortion now, but that it's up to the states. But so they're making it sound like the left is making it sound like nobody can get abortions now, and which they can, but when you say it's reversed, what exactly does that mean? And one other thing, Joe Biden was saying that he was talking about some of the legislation that it almost makes, or it makes doctors, that it's criminal activity for them to refuse an abortion now, or to give an abortion now. Well, just think, for many years, that's what the left has done. They've made it criminal activity, or tried to anyways, to make it illegal, they tried to make not doing an abortion criminal activity for a doctor, you know. So they just, you know, they just gaslight constantly. So, anyways, if you could just help me so I could be more articulate about it, I'll listen to you off the air. Thank you, Dalton.
All right, Lee, thank you for your call here today and for your comments. And we certainly, you know, have all been learning and or being reminded of things that we have heard. And Roe v. Wade being a decision that was made back in the early 70s in 1973. Simply making a federal law that abortion could take place anywhere in our country, and where we often refer people to, for the sake of time, is to go to lc.org, where Matt Staver has always putting out great information, helping us to better understand all of the legalese, if you will, and all of the situations before us. And so I would encourage you to go to that website. For the sake of time here today, I need to, some others are waiting here, but I would definitely encourage you to go to lc.org and use those resources there, and talk to someone or learn from someone who is much better and more capable than I would be at explaining what has taken place here. And you are correct, Lee, when you say that abortion has not ended in our country. It is now being sent back to the states. At the federal level, we're no longer saying that you can just have that an abortion is illegal anywhere at any situation, any circumstance. Now it is being sent back to the states, and it is a victory because now, on a state basis, we the people can vote and let our voices better be heard. So again, for some of these heavy questions that we all have, Lee, I would encourage you to visit lc.org. Our friend and brother in Christ, Matt Staver, always posting great, helpful information on his website and, of course, his social media as well. Zach is also in Wisconsin today. Zach, thanks for calling Crosstalk.
Hi. So I just wanted to say it's very disturbing listening to these politicians support and defend the LGBTQ and abortion. But what I find more disturbing are the reactions of Christians when it comes to these issues, or even the silence. It's been very hurtful to witness. They say it's a long road to heaven. I'd like to add it's a very long road to heaven.
Okay, based on what failure are you seeing by the Christians? You're saying that they are just they've been too quiet too long, or
yeah, quiet too long, or even when you have discussions with them, like when you talk about schooling, it doesn't matter what school you send them to, they all end up gay. It's like, well, that's not true at all.
Mm-hmm. And then your comment about a long road to heaven. What do you mean by that, Lee? Zach, I'm sorry, Lee. Zach?
The Bible says it's a long, narrow road to heaven. I just wanted to add that it's a very long, narrow road to heaven. To clarify a little better.
Okay, so you're just saying that the road is narrow. Are you speaking the way being Christ, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So are you a Christian?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we're on the same page that way. It's just you're saying that as Christians, we have a lot of work to do.
Yes, I think we just, listening to like Matt Staver and Jim and all you guys, I think it's, we've been absent from the public square.
Well, we are to be salt and light, and God help us to do that. Zach, we're up against the break. We do thank you for calling, and Christians do need to be praying and getting back into the Word and finding out who we need be for a time such as this. Looks like a call in Arkansas and one in Michigan is on deck. Please stay with us.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. The Highland Park shooter is all over the news, and rightfully so. But the media is trying to portray him as a Trump supporter. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Gateway pundit immediately grabbed screenshots of his social media pages before they could be cleaned off. And what they report to show is that the shooter, whose name I will not use, was really promoting the ideology of Antifa. He reportedly had the Antifa flag on his social media. Also, he was promoting the Democratic Socialists of America, the largest and fastest growing socialist organization in the U.S. The Gateway Pundit also reports he had occultic wording on his website. When he did attend a Trump rally, it was reportedly to mock Trump. So don't buy into the fake news. This is a disturbed individual with Marxist ideologies, apparently. I'm Brandon House.
We mentioned at the beginning of the program today how heavy of a news day it truly is, and well, it often always is the case. But as we look at just the goings-on from today, but then also earlier this week, back on Monday, we were celebrating America, were we not? The 4th of July, Independence Day. And surely you've heard by now the 21-year-old man accused of opening fire at a suburban Chicago 4th of July parade, killing 7 people, injuring dozens of others. Did you know that man also had plotted another attack in Madison, Wisconsin? After fleeing the scene of the parade, Robert Cremo III was driving around and saw a celebration in Madison and contemplated another attack, having 60 rounds on his body at that point, but apparently had decided he had not done enough planning and decided not to do it. After returning from Wisconsin, Cremo was apprehended at a traffic stop in Lake Forest, Illinois. That was Monday evening. And there's so much more to that tragic story. And, you know, just as tragic as the things that took place there and the loss of lives at such a wonderful celebration, almost as tragic, not as tragic, but almost as tragic, friend, is that we've become so callous to this anymore. It would just be so easy to just say, oh, another shooting. And incidentally, it is Chicago. I mean, yes, this should be condemned, and yes, the president should condemn this, but you could condemn the evil in Chicago every week. And not just there, but they really just about leading the stories on that. Another sad tragedy over the 4th of July out of Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. That is not too far from headquarters here. A North Carolina man died and a woman was injured after being hit by a car during the July 4th weekend. Authorities in Menominee Falls saying that an 18-year-old woman lost control of her car and struck a brother and a sister who were watching July 4th fireworks on Sunday night. Family and friends said that 24-year-old Benjamin Reimers was killed while his 25-year-old sister, Emily, remains hospitalized with life-threatening injuries. Would you please pray for this family? There has been a scholarship set up. The Benjamin Reimers Scholarship will help children take music lessons at the church, their church in Menominee Falls, Falls Baptist Church, a GoFundMe for Emily Grace Reimers. And authorities said the driver stayed on the scene of the accident and was cooperative. Alcohol and drugs do not appear to have been a factor in that crash. Just one of those tragic, tragic, tragic accidents. Let's go to Alice. She is in Arkansas. Alice, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry that Mr. Biden doesn't believe that righteousness exalteth a nation.
Yes.
But sin is a reproach to any people, and the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. But here's the hope. We can come to Christ. We can have his righteousness purchased on the cross. And to whom we yield our servants to obey. His servants we are to obey. And obeying Christ is a wonderful way to live. May God have mercy on those that call themselves Christians. May they make sure they really are. And also the lost and all the real Christians. We all need the mercy of God.
Amen. Amen. Alice, thank you for your call. And I know for praying for our country and, of course, the church as well. Jerry is in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Thank you for calling, Jerry. You're on the air.
Well, thank you so much. And two quick points. First, about abortion. I can't thank you enough for saying that we need to help the children after they're born. Because quite honestly, a lot of far-right conservatives, they're anti-abortion, but when it comes to funding programs to help these kids, they're completely against them. And the previous program used Japan as a reason that gun laws don't work. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I am pro-Second Amendment. But Japan, unfortunately, and this is factual, is a perfect example of why gun laws do work. Like you said yourself, they have very few shootings there. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm pro-Second Amendment, and quite honestly, I wish you were on the air more often. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling, Jerry, in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. One more call. It's about all we have time for here today. I believe in Mesa, Arizona. Gary, thank you for calling. You're on Crosstalk.
Say, I just wondered about those people who want to keep abortion safe and legal. Why don't they refer to Kermit Gosnell, who butchered them by the thousands? And there was another doctor in Indiana that did likewise. There was a movie made about that. I can't recall the title, but he made a plea deal to convert his sentence to a life sentence rather than facing the death penalty. So, you know, this hideous practice, this is what you're going to get. How many more Gosnells are there out there? These people need to come to Christ. There's no question about it. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. And you certainly do not have to look very far to see the pain and the suffering in this world. And we have thousands of years of pain and suffering in this world, but we do find peace and restoration and new life in Christ Jesus. Something that we quickly should mention, another headline that's been quite a story here the last 24, 48 hours, Boris Johnson announcing plans to resign as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom back on Thursday, a tumultuous ending for a government that once enjoyed a strong democratic mandate. Johnson's roughly three-year tenure ended in disarray after he threatened a standoff with his party and a possible general election following the resignation of 42 ministers who deemed his position untenable. He says new leadership is clearly now the will of Parliament. Boris Johnson hopes to remain in a caretaker position as his Conservative Party elects a new prime minister, a process that may take roughly 2 months. You noticed how hard it is for leadership in most any nation. Think of Israel and how troubled they have been there in keeping their government going. And here's another example of that. Going to close with this one today, friends. This is out of St. Paul, Minnesota. Did you know that many are declaring today Psalm 78 Day, a day set aside to focus on the privilege and responsibility to tell the next generation about God's glorious deeds? And for the sake of time, I'll just have to direct you to Psalm 78, a children's discipleship ministry there in Minnesota, saying that we've got to get out the Word of God. Every follower of Jesus Christ has that calling on their life. Let's all read Psalm 78. Reminder that Sunday is coming, the Lord's Day. We trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.